Samuel Womack, the 49ers' fifth round cornerback. Who did the 49ers get here? What kind of player is he? How does he fit into the 49ers' depth chart in the secondary? That cornerback room getting a little crowded. We'll check in on that depth chart as well as some rookie numbers, some notes on those from rookie minicamp coming up right now.
You are Locked On 49ers, your daily San Francisco 49ers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to Locked On 49ers. Brian Peacock and Eric Crocker here with you once again at BD Peacock, at Eric underscore Crocker on Twitter. Thanks for making us your first listen here on the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Today's episode brought to you by Bet Online. Bet Online has you covered this season. More props, odds, and lines than ever before. Bet Online, where the game starts. I want to talk about rookie minicamp. We're going to get deeper into rookie minicamp with 49ers beat writer for The Athletic, Matt Barrows, joining us on probably Monday night. It'll be up on YouTube, but the Tuesday morning audio podcast will have Mr. Matt Barrows. It's been a while since I talked to him, and he was there watching the rookies run around at rookie minicamp. And before we talk about Samuel Womack, I believe he was wearing number 26. Is that correct?
That's what I saw reported.
And so as soon as I saw the numbers, I was like, we kind of got to get the Croc swag report on the 49ers numbers. So before we get to the scouting report, we got to scout the numbers. And right, a few stand out. First of all, Spencer Burford was wearing 74.
Which Joe Staley.
That can't happen. That cannot happen, Croc. You cannot give a rookie number 74 2 years after one of your best offensive linemen in the franchise's history retires. That number's off limits for a while and probably forever.
No, I think you do what they did. I think you ripped the Band-Aid off and just like, oh, okay, there you go. Got another guy in that number.
I don't know. That's a tough one for me. It's a good number, though. It's a good offensive tackle number. It also tells me they're going to try him at tackle before guard. But when I was looking through, when I was watching them run through drills, it looked like Burford and Zakel were doing more guard type stuff. And then we had Poe, and although there's not enough players to go 11 on 11. So, you know, most of the stuff was kind of seven
What's
on seven
with that. So, you know, I was a part of rookie minicamp once before.
Yeah.
And there were tons of players. I mean, we were like two deep at every position. And a lot of the guys, they have no intentions on keeping. They just want to get their rookies out there. See if they can find a guy that maybe slipped through the cracks, you know, and just kind of get those reps and those live reps and everything like that. I was able to get a ton of reps. Because, you know, during actually like OTAs and minicamp, stuff like that, you know, when you're Eric Crocker, you know, you're a third string cornerback, you don't get a whole lot of reps. You know, it's like first string gets about five or six reps. Second string, they get about five or six reps. And then they repeat that. And then third string, you're going to get like three or four. So rookie minicamp, it was like I was in the first group. I was able to get a ton of reps. So, but it's so confusing, like the last couple of years. And again, I mean, I was in the NFL. We're talking about 2013. So maybe a lot has changed since then with CBA and things like that. But it's interesting that I haven't seen them be able to field enough players to get 11 on 11 going.
Was that a situation, Croc, where you're able to tell someone like Cromartie and OTAs, like, hold on, Crow, I'm going to get another rep here. I'm going to jump in.
No, and Crow was getting all his reps. So.
Okay. I just want to run through some of the numbers from rookie minicamp, besides that Spencer Burford 74. So Samuel Womack, we'll talk about his scouting report and how he fits into the 49ers defense. He was wearing number 26. There was a running back, undrafted free agent, Habibi Likio, who was Oregon, then transferred to Boise State. He was also wearing 26, but on the offensive side of the ball. Ty Davis Price is wearing number 32. Quarterback Brock Purdy wearing 14. Tariq Castro-Fields, 36. Quantrez Knight, undrafted free agent from UCLA, DB, wearing 43. Kind of ugly number, I think, for him, in my opinion. Donovan West, center, 61. Jason Poe was wearing 62. Nick Zakel, sixth-round guard, number 63. Kalia Davis, not on the field. He's still injured, but I believe he was issued number 93. I love the number 95 for Drake Jackson as a defensive end. It makes him play up as a every down defensive end. If he came in the 50s, he'd feel like more of a stand up guy. And then here's one kind of a throwback number going in the 80s with wide receiver Danny Gray, number 86, especially with the wide receivers and the DBs. Womack 26, Castro Fields 36, Danny Gray 86. Croc doesn't
Danny
like
Gray. Numbers. I don't like the 86, but when I saw it, I'm like, okay, it's a nasty number. But I think he wears it well. Because you can have an ugly number, but you wear it well. I think he wears it well. And I'd assume once cuts happen, he'll be one of the first guys to get in a different number, whether it's a team number or a single-digit number. You'll see him trying to fight for one of those.
I like Ty Davis Price going 32. That's a good number for a big back because it's a big back number, but still fast for a big back number. So I like 32 for him. And he did say at the podium he's going to be playing in the 220s. So he's going to play big. He's not going to be that 211-pounder we saw at the combine running 4.48.
So I had to just do a little Googling just now just to make sure I wasn't tripping. The first thing that came to my mind, who did I say he reminded me of? Do you remember?
Ty Davis Price?
Yeah.
You said he reminded you of Kevin Barlow.
Kevin Barlow? What number was Kevin Barlow?
Oh, he's 32. Yeah, you're right.
32. And there was another guy I said he reminded me of, right? Because I was like, you know, Kevin Barlow reminded me of the other guy.
I don't remember who that was.
David Montgomery, Chicago Bears. What number does he wear? Number 32. I don't know.
Okay. He's a 32. He's a 32 for sure. So that one fits.
It fits, yeah.
Spencer, Shante Spencer. He was 36, right?
He was 36.
Yeah.
So still ugly, but Spencer, you know, I met Shante Spencer too at a 7-on-7 tournament. Mm-hmm. Really cool guy.
Okay.
But yeah, 36, ugly.
I think it's all right for Castro Fields, bigger corner.
Yeah, Dante Johnson wore it well. Again, you can have an ugly number if you just know how to wear it. And I think Dante Johnson, when he had to wear number 36, I think that was the number he started off his career with the 49ers. He wore it well. He wore it well. But you see, he tried to, you know, really get out of that as quick as possible. Last year, I think he wore number 27.
And we'll see what happens when the season starts, training camp. Some of these numbers might change a little bit. But the big thing, why I thought of the numbers from rookie minicamp is Samuel Womack, when we're watching his film from Toledo, and it was a little bit hard to come by Toledo film, but you know, we've had some time now and we've watched a little Samuel Womack, the 49ers fifth round draft pick, number zero. I like number zero, and apparently it's not available in the NFL yet, but that would be really cool if he was able to wear number zero, because that'd be an awesome
pick.
Smaller corner, like sort of a plays bigger than his size, nickel sort of a corner. Number zero would be nice for that.
You know, initially when I was trying to find him, I was looking for number 19 because all the pictures that were floating around of Womack when he got drafted by 49ers, I kept seeing him in number 19. So I'm watching film and I'm like, gosh, I don't see a number 19. So I had to go to his Instagram page. I'm like, oh, he wore number zero. Why does everybody keep using this photo of him wearing number 19? He's number zero the last couple years. So yeah, zero looks good on guys. I like that they're able to wear that now in college. I think the NFL, they might as well adopt it as well. Go full NCAA. You already let guys wear single-digit numbers.
Yeah, I mean, it's a number. Zero is a number.
Yeah. Is NFL like the only – is that the only one that doesn't wear that? I mean, because college football has it. Clearly, basketball, NBA, college, they have it. They even have double zero.
Made
popular by Greg Ostertag back in the day, yes. Utah Jazz, the double zero.
Yeah, absolutely. And Agent Zero, of course, locally for the Golden State Warriors. But even back in the day, I think you could wear double zero in Major League Baseball, although I haven't seen it in a long time. I wonder if they took that away. Huh. There was a classic story about a player for the San Francisco Giants that wore double zero. He was an old shortstop, and I'm blanking on his name right now. It was back in the day, like before we were born. But people used to boo him so much that he spray painted B in front of the double zero, so it said boo on the back of his jersey. Story.
You gotta embrace it. I like it.
You
embrace getting booed.
But zero is a number and it should be allowed. So
But 26, not my favorite 20 number, but solid. I think if you're just talking about like the best number 20 numbers, right? Like just for whatever reason. Listen, I don't make the rules. I just have this like there's some people that have like a great sense of fashion. Like I'm not one of those. I wish I was. I wish I knew how to throw together like outfits. I'm just not that guy. All right, but football field, I just know how to see it and I can visualize it. And I know when guys wear something well, even if it's an ugly number, whatever. But the best numbers right away. I mean, 21. Everyone wants to wear number 21. 24. That's probably next up in the 20s. After that, I mean, probably 23.
No,
but it starts getting a little weird. Now, you'll choose 20
and 27.
Oh, okay, yeah, 25. I like it. In some of those numbers, I mean, you'll 100% take that over like 36 or 38, like Diamondola Thorne had to wear last season. So even number 20 is like, it's cool. And it's like, oh, Garrison Harris. And it's like, yeah, Garrison Harris. I know you liked him, but the number, I mean, it was okay. But it's definitely better than 33. Oh, 33 is just atrocious. Some of those numbers. 37. 31. Oh,
31. 37. Freshman year football. Everyone, I was a wide receiver. Everybody loved Jerry Rice, Visalia, California. Everyone wants number 80. I asked for number 80. Everybody asked for number 80. I'll never forget it. One kid got 80, and I got given 31.
Terrible. So how'd that work? Terrible. So it's our Peacock. You want number 80, but instead of 80, because somebody else has it, let's give you 31. Like, how do you go from 80 to 31?
They wanted me to play DB, I think, is the problem. But I wanted to play wide receiver. So maybe they're trying to make me switch positions because of my, like, 86 would be great. Okay, I don't get 80. How about 86? I would have taken Danny Gray's 86 number. We got to move on.
real quick, I think Antonio Cromartie, he wears 31 very well. And there was Dre Bly before. I know, first of all, I had no recollection of him playing on the 49ers at all. I don't know what I was doing in 2019. I know I was playing junior college football. I was watching the games, but I just haven't. I don't remember Dre Bly playing on the Niners. And I watched Dre Bly play for the Rams. I really liked him on the Rams. I mean, I watched him coming out of North Carolina. Like, I like Dre Bly, and I don't remember that year at all. But anyways, he wore 32 very well for, like, the Rams, and I know he played for the Broncos. 49ers, he was wearing, like, 31. You can make it look good. You can make it look good. So it's not terrible. You weren't as bad as somebody wearing 33, 34, 35. I had to wear 35 my first year, Pop Warner. Like, there's some really – there's if you have to have a number 30 number, 31 is the best.
Think so? Oh, I hate it. I feel like 31 is the worst, and I think it's just because of that.
31, 30, and then 32. Like, and those are – anything outside of that, you just really don't want to wear 30 numbers.
Let's talk about 26 from rookie minicamp. Number 0 from Toledo, Samuel Womack, the 49ers' fifth round corner next. But I don't want to let the folks out there know about Bet Online. Bet Online continues to be the number one source for all your betting needs and sports information. Find all the latest odds, news, sports developments, including this year's NBA playoffs, Major League Baseball, UFC, boxing, NFL futures. How about this for NFL futures? And you might want to throw some money down right now because these odds are going to change. Deebo Samuel, most receiving yards in the regular season in 2022. Deebo Samuel's odds are 18-1. I think they're going to run him less, throw to him more, like the first half of the season last year. And you're getting 18-1 odds. As soon as he signs that new deal with the 49ers, those odds are going to start to creep up. And he's only about 10th on the list right now for most receiving yards in the regular season. So you can find odds like that, most passing yards in the regular season, offensive, defensive rookie of the year, Super Bowl futures, and a whole bunch more at Bet Online, your continued source for all sports wagering information from live betting, playoffs, esports, and more. So get over to the website today or use your mobile device to learn more about the trends and action at Bet Online, where the game starts. Thanks again, everybody, for making Locked On 49ers your first listen every day. Make sure you're checking out everything the network has to offer here. Croc doing Locked On NFL Draft Daily. I've got the Peacock and Williamson NFL Show. And the Peacock and Williamson NFL Show, the new home on YouTube, is on the Locked On NFL channel. So get over to Locked On NFL and subscribe to that to catch the Peacock and Williamson Show every single day. There is no off season for real fans, and there is no off season here at the Locked On Podcast Network. All right, Croc. Samuel Womack, number 0 at Toledo. What did we see here? 5'9", 189 pounds at his pro day. He was not invited to the combine. This is what's tough about when you watch a guy play in college and the translation to the NFL for just physical abilities, height, weight, speed, and that kind of stuff. Arm strength for quarterbacks. Because you see it a lot. Like, I remember watching in 2014, I remember watching Jimmy Garoppolo. It's like, man, this guy can sling it. He's got such an amazing release, and he can make all the throws. This guy's got a big-time arm. He's got an NFL arm. And you see it a lot with wide receivers. Man, 6 feet, 190, runs a 4.45. This guy's got height, weight, speed. He's big and fast. Then they show up in the NFL, and you're like, oh, you're unhappy with Jimmy's arm. People are like, oh, he's got a terrible arm. He can't throw a deep ball, right? He's got a crap arm. And you see a lot with wide receivers. A guy who's 6 feet, 190, runs a 4.45, shows up, kind of just looks like a guy. Looks like everybody else. He's not that big anymore. And I bring that up because Samuel Womack, 5'9", 189 is not very big. But when I was watching him on film at Toledo, and maybe it's because of his teammates in the competition,
he looks bigger.
But then you show up in the NFL, and I wonder if he's going to look teeny tiny. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and I was wondering that too. I mean, you watch him, and again, I was confused by which one he was initially, and I never even would have thought that he was number zero, because looking at number zero, I'm like, that looks like a 6'1" corner. So I don't know why he's – I don't know why it looks like that on film, but yeah, no, you're right. And I think another reason why he looks so tall is because – well, I don't know how you look so tall, but you're 5'9", but – he did something, and it was one of my few notes that I have on him because it was so hard to find his film. But he plays really tall. He plays very high. Like, there's, like, no bend at his knees or his hips or anything like that. Like, he doesn't, like, sink his hips and drive. And, like, it's like somebody that stands up tall. Now, you can still play good playing like that, but it's not aesthetically pleasing from a cornerback coach's perspective. Like, if I was watching them, and again, I don't want you to be hunched over to where now you're uncomfortable because you're trying to be so low, but you got to have a little bit more bend at the knees and hips. And I just didn't see that from him.
Okay. We're getting into something here. And I'm glad, because we didn't talk about this much before. We watched these prospects separately and we see if we come to the same conclusions. And a lot of times we do, because Croc and I both have amazing scouting eyes. I think that's clear. If you listen to this podcast, you know that about us. But one of the reasons why he looks like he's bigger, I think, is because he's got long arms. He's got almost 32-inch arms, which is really big and really long for someone who's 5'9". It's pretty long for most corners. In fact, he's got longer arms than Tariq Castro Fields, who is 6'1". So I think the arm length plays into it and makes him look a little bit bigger. And when, because I hadn't watched really any of Sammy Womack before the draft. He wasn't invited to the combine. Wasn't really, you know, big on the radar. Wasn't a lot of people in the draft media talking about him. So I thought, okay, you know, kind of has the profile of a nickel corner. He's 5'9", 189. He's going to be this little dude that has crazy quicks. But I saw, that's part of it. Like, he played mostly left outside cornerback at Toledo on right. The defensive left side. Couple reps where I saw him inside and on the right side. But mostly
on man coverage. Like, man coverage, maybe if they had, like, tight end close to the right and, you know, they had, you know, two receivers or three receivers to the left and they were in man coverage, then you'd see him in the slot. But outside of that kind of random scenario, at least in the few games that I was able to watch, he, yes, was primarily more outside left corner, and occasionally you would see him on the right side.
It's outside. A lot of times when I see a prospect, I watch him first a little before you get into all the scouting reports and stuff. But this, I read a lot more scouting reports on Womack before I watched him, and I thought I was going to see a lot more small, low to the ground nickel corner. But he played outside, and he looked like an outside guy, and he played like an outside guy. So I'm not as convinced now that he's just pure nickel corner.
I think we heard a lot of, like, DJ Reed, right, in that comparison and kind of, you know, how they look at DJ Reed. He was a guy who played at Kansas State on the outside playing cornerback. But, you know, with DJ Reed, you were able to see some of those quicks and, you know, some of the movement skills and things like that, to where it's like, oh, yeah, you know, he's not a bigger guy, but, you know, I think his game could translate well to the inside. 49ers even tried some safety stuff with DJ Reed. But, yeah, I agree. Watching Womack, I didn't see the twitched-up, quick-footed guy that I was necessarily expecting to see. And I'm glad that you mentioned it first, because I feel like I've come off a little more, I guess, negative about some of the draft picks. I did like, obviously, Drake Jackson. I did like Castro Fields a lot. I like Ty Davis Price, the player, not the value. But I'm not as high on – and again, this is just one of those things where it's like Eric just has to, you know, just see it, right? I just have to see, okay, what does it look like in the NFL? Because the guy I saw at corner, it was primarily off coverage. He barely even got in the stance. I didn't see, like, a backpedal. I didn't see, like, a click and close. I didn't see – I was much more impressed by Castro Fields' film than I was Womack, especially trying to view Womack in the eyes of someone that is potentially going to play in the nickel spot.
I did like some of the reps where I saw him up in press, and he seemed like he was pretty natural turning and running and wasn't afraid to get beat. So I liked that. And the competitive nature jumps out. He's super competitive. He's not like, he's sort of like a drag down tackler. He's not like a, you know, come up and hit somebody. He's more of a pesky tackler where he's like holding on for whatever he can and getting the guy down on the ground, but it's somewhat effective. That's when he does kind of start to play a little smaller, is when he's trying to defend the run or come up and hit a wide receiver on a wide receiver screen or something like that. But not afraid to mix it up or anything like that. So he does play a little bigger. So again, might make him seem a little bigger versus his competition than the 5'9", 189 would make you believe. But I love this. He was a former walk-on, earned a scholarship, led the MAC in passes defensed for three consecutive years, led the entire conference, not just his team, in passes defense for three consecutive seasons, finished with a school record 45 passes defense throughout his.
That's very impressive.
So, and he was there for 5 years. So he walked on in 2017, earned a scholarship in 2018, then was a starter for 3 years, 2019, 2020, and 2021, even though it was a shortened season, six games only in 2020. But got his team up the balls, picked the ball off. And so, you know, part of it is the long arms, and part of it is he is quick. He had a for his three cone, 6.87 three cone, which is a really good time. So maybe he doesn't play like low and sink his hips, but he still is quick. So he doesn't really need to. And I wonder if he's never needed to. So that's why technique wise, he could maybe even get a little bit better sort of click and close, as you say, and sort of getting low and shooting out of his stance.
You know, some of it is just what guys are asked to do. And you're at Toledo, and most of what I saw, I mean, you saw some press snaps. I don't even think I saw one rep where he was lined up press. And again, you talk about the pass breakups. That's tremendous. Having that many passes that you knock away, that's a lot, right? Like, so we're seeing someone that definitely knows how to compete at the catch point. The issue is, and what's a little bit more invalid with my analysis is, I was not able to get my hands on as much film to get the good analysis. I talked about liking Castro Fields film more, but if I was only able to see one or two films of Castro Fields, and you know, there just maybe wasn't there much there, it wasn't attacked a lot or whatever, then I wouldn't have as high of an opinion on him as I do in the sense of how I feel like his game translates to the NFL. With Womack, not only was there not much film that I was able to see, there also, and when I say no film, I mean, I had to piece together something of him versus Miller to the Sea. I had to piece together a film where they were focused on someone else, but I was able to watch him against Notre Dame. And the quarterback only threw three passes. So you know, there just wasn't a whole lot for me to really go off of. So I think my analysis on him is more incomplete. But even saying that, and I wish, you know, if I was a part of 49ers staff, then I would probably have all of the film on him. And like, I mean, I have a ton on a lot of other guys. I have a ton on Castro Fields, all 22, nothing on Womack. So, you know, if I was a 49er scout and I'm sitting there and I'm clicking away and I see 42 pass breakers, I'm seeing great ball skills. Maybe you get to see him challenged in different ways. I could see. And then, you know, obviously you mirror that with his testing numbers, running very well, you know, three cone extremely well. And a guy with the long arms like that, maybe they're able to see more of how his game translates. But just watching what I watch and trying to see, okay, well, how does this fit in the slot if that's where he's going to go on the field? That was hard for me to see.
It is somewhat of an incomplete evaluation from where we are. Yeah, and I'm sure just judging by what everyone says about him and his competitive nature and how he was a walk-on that earned everything. And I bet this is one of those where the area scouts really loved Womack and they were able to go see him and see all the tape and you see him in person and talk to the coaches and talk to opponents and those types of things. And that's where the evaluation on someone like this from a smaller school is more complete than Croc and I have. I have a couple questions for you, especially the Notre Dame tape, Croc. And I know you said they only attempted three passes. And then let's talk about how he fits in and what the depth chart starts to look like. And it gets pretty crowded at cornerback now with two more rookies joining the squad, plus some undrafted free agents as well. But first, I want to talk a little bit here about Built Bar. Imagine dipping your finger into a plastic tub of birthday cake frosting and then opening your eyes and realizing it's only 150 calories, 16 grams of protein. That's what it's like to eat a birthday cake puff bar from Built. I got to actually bring Croc back in here. Croc, did you get yourself that buck? Okay.
I just ate one right before we came on the show. I was feeling a little hungry. So let me go in my pantry, eat this Built bar, something this morning. And that was my thing. I was going to go eat some terrible stuff. And I said, Eric, don't do it. You're trying to get your back in shape. You're trying to get that body right. Go get you that Built bar. You got the protein. You got the protein in it. You got the birthday cake, only 9 grams of sugar, as opposed to if I would have ate a donut or if I would have just ate a ton of carbs with a breakfast sausage, egg, and cheese burrito or something like that. This was much, much better and a much healthier choice. So I'm glad I made that choice. I'm glad that I have these handy.
And I know Croc's a big fan of the Built Bar Puffs, the first ever protein-infused marshmallow. And yeah, I don't know how they get so much flavor and low sugar, low calorie, only 150 calories there in the birthday cake puff with 16 grams
real of quick, protein. When I eat that, and the whole time I'm thinking, there's no way this is only 9 grams of sugar.
Like, it's crazy. No, I don't know what they think. The scientists over there at Built Bar, like, I hope they deserve to get paid double. I wonder if they're going to start holding out like Debo Samuel, get that 25 mil a year, because they're doing some amazing things at built.com. And you can get yourself some birthday cake puffs or whatever flavor you want, even a mixed box of Built Bars at built.com. And with our promo code, 15% off. Go to built.com. Use promo code LOCKED15 to get 15% off your order. That is promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at built.com. All right, Croc, real quick question before we talk about that DB depth chart here and how Samuel Womack fits in. By the way, I talked about the rep where I saw him in press coverage, and I like the way he turned. He didn't seem afraid or worried or anything. This is off broadcast film, though. So I see the beginning of the rep, then I see him turn and run. Seemed like he's not worried about getting beat deep. Everything looks good. He turns and run, but now he's off the screen and I can't see anything. And what happens? Yeah. They throw a comeback and he got beat on the comeback. So it looked good with him turning and running, but then he did get beat on that one rep. So I wanted to bring
too far upfield shoulder. Yeah. I did see him get an interception. Again, it was off coverage. I thought he tracked the ball in well. He attacked the ball in the air. Looked like some kind of – it was him and like a safety there, but he was able to get there. Quarterback kind of overthrew it. That was against
Tennessee. Yeah, on a deep ball, and he actually outrun the safety and the receiver and caught it like a receiver over his shoulder. So the ball skills are definitely there for Womack. Did he – because I was talking about the size thing earlier. Did he look smaller once he was playing a team like Notre Dame?
I didn't think so. I don't know if it's number zero. I don't know if it's the sleeves that he's wearing, but he just always looked like he had solid size. Is he like a legit 5'9", or is it like 5'9 and 7/8" or something like that, where he's closer to 5'10", which a normal 5'10 person, really, if you're like a legit 5'10", you can say you're 5'11". So it just, you know, you start.
Yeah. No, 5'9 flat. 5'090 was his measurement from pro day, 189. So it's not big. So I think arm length is a big part of how he looks taller on the field. Looking at the depth chart, though, so there is something up for grabs at nickel. And I do still think he is a nickel in the NFL, but I think he can play some reps outside. And he looked pretty natural outside. And you saw him more outside than inside in college. So that's a projection to him at nickel. But he's definitely not his scouting report sounded so much more like Kawan Williams than what his tape looked like. He didn't look like Kawan Williams to me.
He looks like an outside cornerback, at least from what I've seen and clearly from what you've seen as well. And what we mean by that is typically the guys that you see in the slot are just much more twitched up, quick-footed, sudden, and we weren't able to gather that from the limited film that we have. I want to continue to say that because I know people are like, Croc, you said he couldn't do that. Listen, very limited film. Hopefully throughout this process, I can find more and we can circle back around to this.
Yeah. And that's why we're going to have to double up when we do our Spencer Burford, Nick Zakel scouting report episode. We'll probably put those two in one episode because it's harder to watch Fordham than it is even Toledo, but at least we got Senior Bowl tape for Nick Zakel to watch a little bit. Yeah. So you get to see him against some other bigger prospects.
Also, I mean, we don't even have to circle back with their college film. I mean, we're going to be able to watch these guys preseason. And hey, you know, this is what we thought we were seeing on film. How does it look in the NFL? You know, how are they utilizing him? Is he a guy that they're like, oh, well, yeah, he's only 5'9", but we are still playing him outside. DJ Reed, he's a guy who played outside some for the 49ers and then went to the Seahawks and ended up making $30+ million because of his ability to play outside cornerback. So, you know, just trying to figure that out, too. That'll help us with our evaluation of him.
For sure. Last year, the 49ers broke camp with only 6 cornerbacks. That's counting nickel, outside corners, and everything, and only 4 more safeties. So 10 DBs is what the 49ers broke camp with numbers-wise. But just focusing on cornerback, and we talked a little bit about the outside corners with the Tariq Castro-Fields scouting report episode. But right now, the 49ers at cornerback have Charvarius Ward, who they just signed big money in free agency, obviously making the team. Emmanuel Mosley's going to be the starter on the other side. Jason Verrett still on the roster. Is he going to be healthy? Is he going to break camp with the team? That's already 3. 2 draft picks from last year in Ambry Thomas and Diamador Lenore gives us 5. 2 draft picks from this year, gives you, with Samuel Womack and Tariq Castro Fields, now you're already at seven corners. That's not including Dante Johnson either, which is eight. So that's eight bodies for maybe six spots. And Darquez Dennard in the mix there. And he played some reps in the nickel too. So that nickel competition is pretty important, I think, for the roster, because they're not going to go three, four deep at nickel when they're only taking six corners, right? And they might take seven if Jason Verrett's one of them, just because you want to protect yourself from injury. And they drafted four corners the last 2 years, and they probably want to see all those guys, right? You know, and there's maybe going to be some injuries as well, but there's going to be a ton of competition at cornerback just to even make the roster, let alone try to get yourself a uniform on game day.
Definitely. And that's a good problem to have, especially for a team where everyone's saying last year the secondary, and more specifically the cornerbacks, were the weakest link on this team, not just on the defense. So to feel like, you know, you head into this with much more depth and a stronger unit, I think that's a plus. Now, I think we'd also save the 49ers starter last season and finish the year with Jason Verrett and Emmanuel Mosley playing the whole year, or let's say just 90% of the games, you would have felt more comfortable as well. But you lose Verrett week one. You have these younger guys there that just weren't quite ready. You had Dante Johnson. And then now the depth starts to look a little weird, even though they were still able to kind of, at the very least, just get through, right, and still have one of the better pass defenses on paper, but just not as ideal. I think they believe that they have more depth, even though I disagree with a lot of people. I think the depth was good last year to be able to get the results that they got with the players they had to play.
The problem with the depth last year is the big part of the depth was two rookies, and you didn't really know what you had with the rookies. And they started kind of leaning on Diamador Lenore early in the season. Then he disappeared. And then they started leaning on Ambry Thomas late in the season. And so now those guys are in year two. You would expect you can lean on them more. You still have the veterans in Verrett and Dante Johnson and Darquez Dennard. And then you've got two really solid starters that you feel really good about week one, and two more rookies. So depth is huge right now at cornerback, so much so that they might have to cut somebody that is maybe even somewhat unexpected. And even guys like I don't think Diamador Lenore, the way the season ended last year, he could be the starting nickel. He could be cut. You know, I don't think his job is secure as a fifth rounder from last year with all the depth and all the bodies they have here. So it's going to be really interesting. And that battle for the nickel is going to be key, and being able to play both inside and outside, which I think Sam Womack can, really bodes well for him. And of course, special teams is a huge part of this as well.
Definitely. I mean, I think special teams for a lot of these guys is the biggest part, right? I mean, you know, obviously you want guys that can play well. We saw last year 49ers had Dennard that had to start a game that was a must win to get into the playoffs. I mean, it might as well have been a playoff game, and he played. So they probably feel like, listen, in a pinch, we can plug somebody in here. But who's going to also be able to help and contribute on special teams? Okay, we brought some guys in that we feel like can definitely help there with Odom, you know, guys like that. Or, you know, maybe, you know, you look at a guy like Hufanga, maybe he'll have a pivotal, opportunity to really make an impact on special teams as well as on the actual field as well. But some of these guys, Castro Fields, you know, are you a good gunner? You're going to have to do some things that you probably didn't have to do in college. And that's going to be your way when you're drafting the sixth round. Like, special teams might be the way you do make it. And if you do, then maybe they're more likely to let a guy go like a Dante Johnson, who's kind of been around, and they got a guy that drafted on cheaper contracts. So the special teams will play a big factor in, I believe, who makes this. Most fans think, oh, cornerback, he's going to make it because he's good at corner. It's like, no, because I can tell you, I covered well, but I sucked at special teams. And I don't know why I sucked. I was good size. I was strong. I just sucked at it. So it was like, well, we can't use you. And who cares if you can cover well?
It was all upstairs, Croc. You weren't committed to special teams. That's why you weren't good at it.
That probably is. I don't know. I mean, I tried. But look, you got guys like Jordan Willis that's, 6'5", 260 pounds and runs in the 4.5s or whatever he ran. And he's running down full speed just as fast as me, but just way bigger and stronger. And I got to turn, set up, and try to block this guy that's running full speed at me. Like, man, that is, it's tough.
I'd be terrible at special teams if that's what they're asking of me too. And that does not sound fun at all. So it's a mentality for some of these special teamers. So yeah, it's going to be a big part in who makes the bottom of this roster. It's going to be a fun training camp at corner. How that shakes out, I have no idea. Samuel Womack, an interesting player, and I don't want to put too much emphasis on what these guys look like, but it's a good point by you, Croc. We get to start seeing them, not just with their college tape, but what they look like in 49ers uniforms, and we already saw the rookies on the field this weekend at rookie minicamp, so we'll get that information from somebody who was there. Matt Barrows from The Athletic is going to join us for Tuesday morning's podcast. It'll be up Monday evening, I believe, on YouTube. What do you got, Croc?
Well, why aren't there any pictures or videos of anything going on at 49ers, like OTAs? Like I know they're not like full force with anything, but I mean, we've seen videos from other organization, you know, social media teams putting out clips of a guy running routes, putting out clips of Tua underthrowing the guy, but then come back and, you know, put out some more videos. Like we've seen those. We haven't seen anything from the 49ers, like not one thing for fans to be like, oh, I'm excited for that. Not one Trey Lance, just have him throw a little out route. You know, you don't even got to ask him to do anything difficult. Like, can he throw a little out route? And I mean, you haven't seen anything from the 49ers, have you? Not even a picture. So,
the only videos I've seen is from beat writers with their phones that were at practice. That clearly the 49ers have not put an emphasis on showing Trey Lance or showing the rookies or showing any of the OTAs or minicamp and filming it. Maybe it's just not, you know, something that's maybe they're changing.
You got a new Traverius Ward, you got a new corner, and it's like, we can't see him in the 49er uniform. Right. We can't see him backpedal and just high point the ball in the drill. Right. Like, there's nothing.
Even those refs where you can't take anything from it because it's like a slow motion and the camera is just on the ball flying in midair. You can't really even see the route or the throw, and then someone catches the ball. It's just slow motion. But like some hype videos, the 49ers haven't put those out. So clearly there's a reason for it. Either they don't care or maybe there's some change. Look, it's the offseason for the social team as well. I know the 49ers lost their main reporter, Kiana Martin.
Yeah.
She's over at the MLB Network now. She did a great job. Maybe that's it. Maybe they're still structuring their video team and getting that together, but there's definitely not been an emphasis at all. And you would think there'd be a ton of Trey Lance. I mean, Jimmy Garoppolo is obviously not practicing right now, but does that play into it?
Just something. Just something for us to, again, Trey Lance can have 20 terrible passes, but if he just has one out route that he completes, show that. And the fans are going to be, okay, that's QB1, you know, all that stuff, you know, just, right. Or, you know, again, Traverius Ward, something. Brandon Ayuk, he has to be the guy this year. And we're talking about routes on the air, right? Like, we're not talking about team stuff, 7-on-7, anything like that. But just can you show Brandon Ayuk just run a slant route? And just the excitement that would generate throughout a fan base. But we haven't seen any of them.
We will ask Matt Barrows that question tomorrow, because that is very curious that the 49ers have not had a big presence on social with hyping up some of their players, even though workouts have already begun in 2022. Matt Barrows, that'll be a fun episode. We will holler at him a little bit later on Monday. It'll be up for your listening pleasure on Tuesday morning. Croc and I will talk to you then right here, Locked On 49ers.